So about 8 years ago, a fellow named Satoshi Nakamoto introduced Bitcoin to the world, and it went quite well. A whole ecosystem evolved around it, with many companies supplying all the services you might think you would need from a currency. But what became more interesting is actually the infrastructure of this currency, which is called the blockchain. And this blockchain technology promises, believed by many, to help do bank-to-bank settlements around the globe and cheap remittance, moving money cheaply across the ocean, and even as part of machine-to-machine payments, as part of the Internet of Things vision. Now, this has grabbed the attention of all major banks in the US, in Europe. Every one of these banks have a unit dedicated to researching blockchains. The current estimate is that they already put $500 million into studying this. But there's a catch. The blockchain technology as it is not fast enough. It does not scale to the level they need. So they need a bigger and a faster boat. And today we introduce Bitcoin NG. It is a replicated state machine like existing blockchains, Monte Carlo randomized algorithm, meaning safety is only guaranteed with high probability. It is extremely robust to churn. Machines can join and crash quickly, like previous protocols. But unlike previous blockchain technologies, it introduces high performance. We already reached 10 times the throughput of Bitcoin and a fraction of the latency in our experiments. In our present evaluation, we use novel performance metrics that are suitable for this new family of protocols, and our experiments are run with unmodified nodes, just running on the OS, and demonstrate the low latency and high throughput. A little bit of background. The blockchain is essentially a replicated state machine where participants send their messages, transactions into the system, and the replicated state machine, the blockchain, serializes them. If there are two conflicting transactions, only one of them enters the system, and the order takes care of that. As the name hints, it's built in blocks. Each block has a subset of the transactions, and the order of all these transactions forming this global log is defined by the order of the blocks. The order of the blocks is defined by backward pointer. Each header of a block has a reference, a hash of the previous block, and so we get a chain. We'll have time going from left to right throughout the talk. And each block is only legal if the hash of its header is smaller than some target value. I will not discuss how the target is chosen. There is a deterministic algorithm, so you cannot change the target. But there is a small nonce, some arbitrary bits within the block that one can change however they want in order to have this condition met. This is called the crypto puzzle. And to create a block, you need to solve the crypto puzzle by guessing a lot of values and calculating a lot of hashes. Let's see it happening in practice. So we are a node creating a block. They are called miners. The miner receives the transactions from the participants. The transaction in practice propagate through a peer-to-peer network and collected by the miner. And the miner starts guessing nonces. He gets more transactions. He keeps guessing nonces until it hits a nonce such that the hash is smaller than the target. This becomes a legitimate block. It's published, and then it becomes a part of the blockchain. This goes on and on to create a blockchain. The way it's generated, the interval between blocks is going to be exponential, an exponential random variable. The constant is going to be mean. Sorry, the mean is going to be constant. But by automatically setting this target value. Now, why would people do that? It takes a lot of effort. Because they get money, they get a prize. In each block they create, they get to create some new money that is introduced. This is how money is introduced into the system. They also get some fees from the transaction. These are nominal fees. They're just depending on the size in bytes of the transaction, not on the amount. And because of the way it works, as presented before, a miner that has a quarter of the hashing power in the system is going to get its fair share. On average, one in every four blocks. Because this is a distributed system, this doesn't work as nicely. And from now on, we'll move to this more abstract drawing for a block. Sometimes you get forks, because two miners create blocks before hearing of one another, and so they have the same parent, and you get a fork. forks are not good because we don't know what the state of the system is, what transactions are in the system. And so the rule is that the longest chain wins. Transactions are reverted from the part that was pruned. And if you don't want, the threat is double spending, that you're going to have a conflicting transaction and you don't know if you're on the winning side or the losing side. So when you're using the system, you have to pick how confident you want to be of the transaction you placed, and you wait that long until the transaction is placed in a block that's buried after enough blocks. And then it's unlikely that an attacker is going to be able to create blocks faster than that and create a longer branch. Now, this algorithm is famously exhibiting a trade-off between security and latency. And to be accurate and reason about this trade-off, we introduce some metrics. Bandwidth is just transactions per second, as you'd expect. Latency is a bit more involved, and I will not get into the details. We call it consensus delay, and intuitively, it's the question of how long it takes for you to decide on for all nodes to agree on the history. I would like to talk about the security metrics we introduced, mining power utilization, and fairness. Mining power utilization is the fraction of blocks that end up in the main chain, in the longest chain. If it's one, it means that all blocks are in the main chain, and it's great. The lower it is, the worse it is. Why? Because the chain is only secured, the chain is only secured by the blocks in the main chain. If an attacker wants to create a longer chain, he only has to compete with that. So if a lot of blocks end up outside the chain, they're not helping us. Second metric is fairness. We don't have any malicious actors here. It's just a natural property of the system. We're looking at, so you see on the left here, that's just a snapshot of miner sizes, and you see that the blue one is the largest one. So we look at the left there, the presence in terms of all the blocks, of all blocks not created by the largest miner is some value, in this case 80%. But the fraction of blocks not created by the largest miner in the main chain is smaller than that. So there is less fairness. The fraction of these two measurements is the fairness. It has it's best that it's one. It could be lower, and then the system has a tendency toward centralization because miners will prefer to form large coalitions, and the system will not be decentralized. We'll just have one set of miners working together and all controlling all the transactions together, and we're breaking the decentralization properties of the system. So we're in two types of experiments. First of all, we try to increase block frequency. We're keeping the bandwidth static, so we're using more frequent block but smaller ones. And you see that because the blocks are arriving faster, we have more occasions where we have forks. And when we have more forks, we have worse security in terms of both the metrics. Second thing we can do is we can use larger blocks. We are not looking at improving latency, just at improving the bandwidth. And here again, because it takes longer to propagate large blocks, we have worse security. But this doesn't make sense entirely. I mean, we know all about replicated state machines, right? And modern replicated state machines, their performance is limited by the capacity of a single node. We can reach that. Probably not the, yeah. So can we achieve a similar level of performance with blockchain technology at the settings that blockchain technologies use? So the answer is yes, and here's how we do it. This is how the Nakamoto blockchain works, the original one. The transactions arrive at the system until one node, and they arrive at different nodes in different order until one node creates a block. And it orders the transaction. So logically, I'll put it like this. The block orders the transactions before. There are epochs in the system. The epoch ends after the previous block, starts after the previous block, and ends after the current block. And the miner that created that block serializes the blocks. And we already said that we cannot just increase the frequency of these serialization events because we'll get all these forks. So what we realized is the following. The formation of a block really does two things, not just one. It does leader election first, and second, it serializes the blocks within the epoch. So these are two separate things. And now we can actually separate things by turning the protocol over on its head. And this is Bitcoin NG. The epoch starts with a special block we call a key block, and the transactions are placed in micro blocks generated by that leader once it's elected. So we have two types of blocks in the same chain. The key blocks have no content, just the leader election, and the micro blocks have all the transaction, but there is no contention, because for that epoch, we know who's the leader and he's creating the blocks, the micro blocks. Zooming in, the key block contains the proof of work, just like Nakamoto's chain, but also a public key, and this public key is used to sign the micro blocks, so you know that only the leader can create the micro blocks. Key blocks have long intervals between them, and they're exponential because it's built on this proof of work, so think 10 minutes. Micro blocks are spaced much closer, think 10 seconds deterministically. Another question, how do we enforce this? The whole point is that the different miners act on their own interest. So how can we motivate them to follow the protocol that we want? So here's a naive approach, which is just use the micro blocks as part of the weight of the system. And what we're trying to do is two things. We're trying to motivate the next miner to place as many micro blocks as possible after its key block. So this would do it. It's motivated to have to be on the heavier side. And then we also want to place, to motivate the current leader to place transactions in micro blocks at all. And to do that, we could give the leader the transaction fees. So this would seem to work, and I don't have time to get into the details of why it doesn't. There is an attack called selfish mining, which we found a couple of years ago, which becomes much worse using this model. So I'll skip to the solution. The chain selection rule we use is just as in Nakamoto's chain, we just ignore the micro blocks. We only look at how much work, proof of work, was used, how many hashes were calculated, and that's the heaviest chain. Micro blocks carry no weight. And the fee distribution, there is a range. I won't get into the details, they're on the paper, but there is a range, and 40-60 is in this range, so we're giving 40% of the fees of the transactions back to the current leader, so he's motivated to place them in transactions, and 60 to the next leader, so that leader is motivated to place itself after the transactions. He won't get more by placing the transactions himself. To test all this, we used 1,000 standard nodes and our implemented Bitcoin NG nodes, just running on the software. The infrastructure is 150 machines located in the basement of the Cornell Computer Department. The network is not exactly representative of the internet, which we're trying to emulate, so we emulated it. We measured bandwidth and latency of existing Bitcoin nodes on the internet. There are more details on that on another paper published at the Bitcoin Research Workshop. The implementation uses virtual network interfaces and the kernel for rate limiting and latency. And finally, we validated all this by looking at the block propagation times, and we see that they present the same trends that we know from previous work by Decker and Vattenhofer that are presented in the operational network. Finally, mining events. To understand how mining is distributed, we ran statistic over the past year and saw that mining is distributed exponentially. It's a good estimate, and that's what we used for mining power on the different nodes. So just go briefly over the results. This is the latency experiment, static bandwidth latency, interval between blocks decreasing. We see that as we increase the latency on the X, this is log scale, we get better consensus delay, as we expected. So with Bitcoin NG, it's better because we have less forks, but they're both improving. However, if we look at the security metrics, we see that Bitcoin security drops badly, whereas Bitcoin NG maintains its security as the key blocks can remain farther apart, whereas in Bitcoin the blocks have to be close. The same goes for mining power utilization, and as we increase block size, we also see Bitcoin's security dropping. I would like to mention a couple of related works. So if you've been following popular media on Bitcoin, you probably heard about the block size debate. This is addressing a direct problem, short-term problem and a short-term solution. What I presented here is a long-term solution that looks at changing the basic of the protocol to remove limitations. The Ghost protocol and inclusive blockchains is another line of work that is related. It does not provide a full solution to the scalability problem that NG does, but it might be used in concert to allow us to increase the frequency of key blocks, which has advantages. Finally, there is another line of work, is centralized BFT consensus protocol. There is a variety of these. They're very efficient, but they do not work on the model of trustless systems. They do not have the fairness properties we require. And finally, two recent technical reports, BizCoin from EPFL and Hybrid Consensus from Cornell and Cornell Tech, look at how you can use the separation of key blocks to form short-term epoch length consensus systems, PBFT, over these consensus, over these quorum systems, to achieve even better performance while maintaining the same level of security. And with that, I conclude. Thank you very much.
Hey, Ty. Hi. Great work.
Thank you.
So one of the Oh, sorry, I'm Jay Lorch, Microsoft Research. So one of the things that you're trying to fix is this limited transactions per second, which has unfortunate consequences in that transaction fees keep going up because there's a limited amount of space in the blockchain.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that disadvantage is actually an advantage to people who have bought mining rigs and they're contributing to Bitcoin. They want those transaction fees to go up. And for that reason, they've been opposed to fixes, the short-term fix you described before of the increased block size. They'll be opposed to Bitcoin NG. They would prefer that Bitcoin just be for large transactions and we use side chains or private clearinghouses for small transactions. So how are you going to overcome that resistance and get Bitcoin NG adopted by the community?
Currently, Bitcoin is still, I don't think one could say it's widely adapted, widely adopted. And there is going to, we are going to come, I mean, if we're talking specifically about Bitcoin, we are going to come to a time where the kind of small changes that are currently under discussed in the operational Bitcoin community, they're not going to be sufficient. Unless you're really going to move out the vast majority of transactions outside the system, and then most, or let me put it differently, many of the solutions lose the attractive properties of the Bitcoin protocol. So I'm afraid that we are going to reach a time where ad hoc solutions are not going to be sufficient. Beyond that, our experiments were focused on Bitcoin because this is a natural comparison. But as I mentioned in the beginning, the applications for blockchain technologies are far wider than the current Bitcoin operational system. And I do believe that these are going to require a Bitcoin NG-like solutions to reach the scale that they need. Thanks for the question.
Hello, Singapan from the University of Washington. Great talk, thanks. So you didn't talk much about the throughput improvement, but basically it's possible based on the increasing block frequency, I think. And block frequency has increased by like 60 times compared to the Bitcoin, and you say that 10 times throughput improvement. Like, what are the limiting factor from there?
The limiting factor is that we didn't want, we really wanted to compare against the existing operational system. And so we didn't make too much changes there. And that operational system is built to handle the loads of the current operational system. You could, in principle, improve the internals of the client to handle much larger load. And with Bitcoin NG, the protocol would be able to handle that.
I see. Thanks.
Thank you.